A very good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Sunday, July the 26th, 2015. You're listening to Studio 7 live from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us this Sunday evening live from Washington. I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. Amongst our top stories this evening, the 2015 Zimbabwe International Book Fair kicks off in Harare tomorrow, with writers hoping to tackle the issue of piracy that is threatening the industry.
You are aware that this piracy scourge that is almost literally making authors very poor, because people are literally stealing content.
And the former ZANU-PF spokesman, Rugare Gumbo, says he and other former ZANU-PF members who were fired from the party are in the process of creating a vibrant movement that will create hope for all locals.
We are saying we have an opportunity as People First to bring together all the democratic forces to work together to bring change in Zimbabwe.
And as usual, we'll give you the Youth Forum with Tatenda Gumbo. The 2015 Zimbabwe International Book Fair kicks off in Harare tomorrow at Harare Gardens, with writers hoping to tackle the issue of piracy that is threatening the industry. The fair is running under the theme Growing the Knowledge Economy through Research, Writing, Publishing and Reading. The chairman of the Zimbabwe International Book Fair, Obey Vute, tells us more.
In terms of exhibition, we are expecting the international participation of publishers and authors from various sub-Saharan countries, Zambia, Malawi, South Africa, and Tanzania. Our keynote speaker is Mr. Walter Bogoya, who is a publisher based in Tanzania. He's one of the original founders of ZIPSA. In terms of exhibitors, we are expecting exhibitors from India, from South Africa, from Malawi. The local visual exhibitors, we've got over 70 that we've already confirmed.
How important is it to have such an event annually?
First and foremost, we need to understand that the original idea was to try and bring together all stakeholders in the literary world, where they exchange ideas, they engage in terms of all protocols involved in book publishing, book development, and also assess the strengths, weaknesses that are happening in line with the global trend. Basically, if people don't come to a place where they discuss and engage each other, you find that there are threats globally that are coming through in terms of new ways to gather information, new ways to display content, and also you are aware that this piracy scourge that is almost literally making authors very poor, because people are literally stealing content. So it's in some of these areas that are, you know, explored thoroughly and solutions are sought. I will mention also that it is important that there will be opportunities for young writers, you know, the budding writers, because they will be workshopping and they also associate with the veteran writers. They get ideas, you know, on how to become very good researchers and writers. Current themes, the contemporary ones and the old themes, these are all explored so that people become progressive. So that IBSA helps, you know, the people to research in terms of, you know, where are we going. This is the 21st century. The same book that used to be there when we and I were at school, they changed in terms of format. Still the same content, but the format has changed. You now have your e-book, the digital book, you know, the online edition. So information is now very, very available. And these are the issues that make people deceived for those 5 days. And it is very critical that people participate.
And what would you say are the main challenges facing writers that will be under discussion at the book fair?
I mentioned earlier on the piracy issues and also the financial support for some of the writers. You are aware also, because of the economic disharmony that we are going through, some of the authors, they've got brilliant ideas. So they will be looking for sponsors, they'll be looking for people who can motivate them. You know, sometimes an idea just requires motivation to become the next big thing in the world. You are aware we lost one of our best brains in terms of literary work, the late Chengirai Howe. You saw rest in peace. What this basically means is, you know, people will be trying to take over from some of these, you know, veterans. So we are also encouraging the youngsters. There is a young person seen about there. It's not necessarily a new thing, but we have made it unique because we want to make sure the young are the ones who are going to necessarily participate there. We have got as the guest speaker, the junior president. This dimension we have taken to make sure that we get youngsters to see with these ideas. You know?
That was the chairman of the Zimbabwe International Book Fair, Obey Vute, in Harare. Former ZANU-PF spokesman Rugare Gumbo says he and other former ZANU-PF members who were fired from the party understand the frustrations facing Zimbabweans and are now in the process of creating a vibrant movement that will create hope for all locals. He says he hopes this movement will bring about democracy. Gumbo has been linked to People First, a grouping of fired former ZANU-PF members. Gumbo speaks to Jonga Kandemiri on the issue.
We understand the anxiety and the uneasiness of our people regarding the future of Zimbabwe, the future of People First. People want to see a vibrant movement which can bring happiness and hope to the people of Zimbabwe. We have, in our own little way, tried to say, look, what is happening in 2014 ZANU-PF is not the right thing. Their policies are not there to encourage the unity, peace, success and stability of the Zimbabwean people.
What are the policy differences you have with ZANU-PF?
Their policies are, you know, really to say the least, diabolic in certain respect. We want to create a Zimbabwe that every Zimbabwe will be happy. Those in the diaspora, those who are in Zimbabwe. We want to make sure that we have a democratic dispensation in Zimbabwe, the one man, one vote which we fought for. We need that. So I would say the priority for those of us who are in the twilight of our political career is to see the restoration of democracy based on one man, one vote. In the full political spectrum and adoption of socio-economic policies that urgently address the current declining fiscal and the political situation. We are saying we have an opportunity as People First to bring together all the democratic forces to work together to bring change in Zimbabwe. It's not a unity coalition of political parties as such. I know that is what most people are talking about. Political leadership in Zimbabwe today is striving for power, for money. People are too greedy. That is not what we want.
How are you going to achieve these changes when you failed in the many years you were with the ruling ZANU-PF party?
What we want is a generational coalition, the people who wage the armed struggle, and the young generation who has the technical know-how, the competence and so on to take over. So there is need for a succession plan. There is need for us, the elders, to hand over the baton to the new generation. And we are trying to find a formula of doing that. That is the problem which is delaying us coming up with a so-called party. If we can succeed in making sure that the succession to the young generation is smooth, orderly, and so on, we will have done ourselves a lot of good.
That was the former ZANU-PF spokesman Rugare Gumbo in Harare speaking to Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri. Some young entrepreneurs who were at the Global Economic Summit hosted by U.S. President Barack Obama in Nairobi, Kenya, this weekend say they are excited to go back home to implement some of the ideas they acquired during the conference. One of the participants at the summit tells us more.
My name is Tofazo Makura. I'm from Imaji, and I am currently in Nairobi at the Global Entrepreneurship Summit, and it's been an exciting opportunity and amount of interest in Africa and African entrepreneurship and entrepreneurship in general, and the opportunity of course meeting some of the world's big names and having a conversation and interacting with them. So that has been very exciting.
What has been your takeaway from this summit?
I think a lot, but I think it comes down to just a few important things, and that entrepreneurship is probably one of the big solutions for Africa, and there's a lot of interest in African entrepreneurship in the African landscape, and that a lot of the big players are looking at ways they can come in and make a difference, and there's an exciting opportunity for young people, especially Africans, to be part of that process.
But do you see yourself being able to implement what you actually learned at this Global Economic Summit when you do get back home to Zimbabwe?
Yes, in many different ways. I think some of the relationships and the opportunities and the partnerships that will come out of this, so definitely there will be a lot that will be implemented. The results will start to show.
That was Tafadzwa Makura, one of the young Zimbabwean entrepreneurs who were at the Global Economic Summit in Nairobi, Kenya this weekend. Despite the continued decline of the country's economy, the head of TechZim, a local technology company, Limbikani Makani, says the fiber optic internet connection, which is now widespread in the country, can provide a valuable business opportunity for those who are willing to think outside the box. Makani tells us more.
The spread of fiber now is really a key thing because it enables things like business process outsourcing, where someone in Zimbabwe can do jobs for people in the USA, in Europe, whether it's a call center business, whether it's an animation business, whether it's even a transcription service or translation service. You have all these people in Zimbabwe, motherless, that have these skills. You have this high unemployment. But then you get the internet where they can apply those skills to solve problems, to provide services to people that are in other parts of the world. The other big opportunity is that on the internet, a lot of the knowledge in terms of learning a new skill is in the form of video. And therefore, the internet, in terms of fiber being available, allows anyone to participate in acquiring a new skill without any problems at all. So that, to me, is a big opportunity. But it also means that all these people that are having fiber connected into their homes are now a market opportunity for anyone that's trying to push content to them, whether that's video content, entertainment content, whether it's education content. The fiber has created a new market that Zimbabweans themselves inside can tap into.
That was the head of TechZim, a local technology company, Limbikani Makani. And now we go to the Youth Forum with Tatenda Gumbo.
You are now listening to the Youth Forum, your forum focusing on your issues. Today, I'm gladly joined by Njabulo Moyo, who is the Volunteer Country Director of the African Writers Association Zimbabwe chapter, but in his own right is an author, writer, and also poet. Njabulo, thank you so much for joining me on the program.
You're very much welcome.
We're talking on the heels of the International Book Fair this week at Harare Gardens. You have authored two publications, African Sketches and Sketches from My Soul. What are you currently working on?
My third book is a motivational piece. It's no longer poetry that I'm focusing on, but I write through prose. It's called Motivating the Inner Soul. So really, this is purely a self-help content. I believe will transform someone out there. So what I do is I come up with my own motivational quotations and that seek to ignite and inspire, you know, the inner soul. So this is the person that I seek to talk to within everyone's life. That book is not yet released, but the book is already available on Amazon, so people can purchase it online. Then my most recent project in which I feature, you know, is a book called Success Within Reach, Repositioning the Mindset. You know, in this book, it features 15 authors from Zimbabwe, USA, UK, and Nigeria. I'm very proud to be within that anthology because it features big names in the world. So really, to me, it's also a signature moment to say, as a writer, as a motivational speaker, there is more.
Now, can you walk us through, you know, the process of, you know, releasing a book, being in Zimbabwe, but then also generally being in Africa?
I might say that we're coming from a continent. There is quite a number of countries that have got the high literacy rate. But when it comes to really the publishing process, there's a lot of misinformation. There is a belief that getting a book published is very expensive. You know, there are so many cheap avenues of getting your work published. We are coming from a history where we have what is called traditional publishing, where you go to publishing house, maybe they publish your content, you don't pay anything, but they get royalty for managing your work. This is what is scared a lot of people. But now we're in a generation where there is what is called self-publishing. You can have your content, you know, ready, as long as it is fine-tuned, it is edited, typeset, you know, all these major processes. You can go to not necessarily a publisher, but a printer. So it also works as long as you've got your ISBN number. But now there's competition because you also have got online publishing, like I was talking to you about Amazon. So there is really a paradigm shift. There's competition. There's books coming in the form of PDF versions. So there's a lot of options. But let me admit to say that despite all these fresh avenues, the reading culture, in my opinion, is going down. Because now we are competing with a lot of other information bringing forces, you know, like your Facebook. We are competing with the literature world in the sense of books that are published.
How would you rate Zimbabwe's literature scene as someone who is an up-and-coming and a young author and writer?
You know, since 2012, when I first did my first anthology, there's been a lot of young writers that are coming through. You know, I mentor a lot of young writers every day, physically, some via online spaces. So there's that room for interaction. I think one of the things that the old authors, in as much as they are celebrated, they didn't give much room to the youngsters to listen to their story, to really encourage. What we are trying to do now is we are trying to be available for the young author, for the forthcoming author. We are trying to give them support, to give them guidance and advice. But most importantly, the gospel is that no matter the circumstance, let us get the product out. Let us get the book out. So the hope really is in the young mind, you know, the freedom of expression. We believe that there's a new generation that is not going to be confined to certain approaches to literature. If it's radical, they are going to write in the way that the same thing has to be written. You see how you write on Facebook, you see how you write on WhatsApp. There's this ghetto lingo, this slang lingo. It's generally becoming also acceptable. So without losing the value of language, I'm seeing hope in the fact that the world is also accommodating those changes.
And again, I want to thank you for joining me.
You're most welcome.
Njabulo Moyo is the Voluntary Country Director of the African Writers Association Zimbabwe chapter, joining me today on the Youth Forum. Now, as usual, make sure you have a wonderful Sunday and join me next week.
This is Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington. And in sports news.
My name is Tolisani Kesela. I represent the Zimbabwe Football Association as a communications manager.
Mr. Gwesela, what's the sentiment there in Zimbabwe regarding this FIFA decision that Zimbabwe will not participate in the 2018 World Cup?
As we are aware, the decision Zimbabwe not to participate was reached in March. Zimbabwe was found guilty by the FIFA Disciplinary Committee of failing to pay former coach Valinos. Hence, Valinos players approached the FIFA Disciplinary Committee for Zimbabwe to be suspended from participating in 2018 World Cup qualifiers in Russia. And football is an emotional game, and definitely a number of our fans are very disappointed by this sad development.
Is there room for Zimbabwe to appeal that decision?
It's already late, my dear sister. It's very unfortunate. I'm not a lawyer, and I don't think it's legally possible for us to do so.
And also, we saw the Mighty Warriors failing to go to Ivory Coast on Sunday. What happened there?
Yeah, we have always made it clear that FIFA is in a financial quagmire. They have failed to secure necessary funding, and they are aware football worldwide thrives on government funding. Successful football nations in Africa, the likes of Ghana, Ivory Coast, even our neighbor Zambia, the national teams are doing well with their government support, but they have not been able to secure government support. We presented our budget to government last year, and government was aware of our activities, but we approached them this time. They also made it clear that due to liquidity challenges within the economy, they were also constrained, and we understand that.
That was the spokesman of FIFA, Xolani Gwesela, in Harare. And now to recap on today's top stories. The 2015 Zimbabwe International Book Fair starts in Harare tomorrow, with writers hoping to tackle the issue of piracy that is threatening the industry. That's the news in English from Studio 7 this Sunday evening, July the 26th, 2015. Stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Marvelous Mplanga Nyahuye in Washington, wishing you a pleasant evening, a very good night, and a great week ahead.